Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of Fork Broadcasting or WSIP Radio, but they are, however, our opinions. Amen. As we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Good morning, Timotheus. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. I'm good. No complaints. You know, the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3, that he took his complaints to God.
We should do some of that,
and,
shouldn't we?
And I think we should. I think that's where we should start, is taking our complaints to God.
Yep.
It helps to talk to other folks, that's true. But talking to God about our problems, and even one translation says arguing with God.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Argue with him. Isaiah 1, verses 16 through 18, and we'll come back to that in a moment if I don't forget, Timotheus, if you'll remind me.
I'll try.
But right now, we need to let folks know how they might get in touch with us, right?
Well, there's a couple of ways they could do that. They can pick up the phone, give us a call at 789-0318, 789-0318, or you could email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com, and we have got an email that we had left over from last week, as a matter of fact, we're going to touch on here.
We do indeed, and I think because it has been an entire week has gone by.
She's a patient lady, I hope.
She is, I'm sure. A lady over around Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, boy.
Colonial Heights, and I looked that up on the map, and that's down in that direction. I've been over there in that part of the country.
I love the name of that.
I do, too.
Colonial Heights.
I do, too.
Yeah. I like that.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And she says she attends the local Church of Christ, and she's told, she's saying, I was told, this is her email now to mm-hmm. God's Point of View.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, she listens to us online, and that's a great thing.
Bless her heart. I was at WSIPFM.com.
There's no question about
it. Throw that in there.
Yeah. Originating from WSIP FM, 98.9 FM, right here in downtown Paintsville.
127 Main Street.
Come on now.
I had to throw it in.
Yeah. She says, I was told by another Church of Christ in this area
mm-hmm.
that anyone who listens to music or plays music in the church is going to hell.
Mm.
Question. While looking at your broadcast page on your website, the broadcast I listened to started off with music. Is this biblical? Take a look at where the Bible says sing. Some churches of Christ say that means you're not saved if you listen to music at all.
Hmm.
Can you explain?
Now, see, this is the very reason that this program exists.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Take what the Bible says, and that's why we say that we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
We do our best to do that. Mm-hmm. We certainly do. She concludes, I have no problem with music.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you believe, repent, confess, and are baptized in order to be saved and live faithful to the end, wouldn't you be all right? Well, you certainly would be all right. There's no question about that. And maybe we're starting from the end of the email and working our way back, which is not a bad way
no.
a bad thing to do.
A little reassurance to start off with is a good thing.
It is indeed. There's a lot in this email.
There, yeah.
And there's more than we can actually look at individually in one broadcast. Now, I would like to suggest this, and we'll address some of these things. But let me suggest this. I would suggest that the lady who wrote us the email, Kimberly, that she contact the church office and ask Jessica, my administrative assistant secretary, for a copy of a message I preached in October of 2006. The message is entitled "Learning Division."
You know, we're not talking about math, are we?
No, we're not. We're not even talking about new math.
Okay.
The message goes into great detail as to how churches of Christ got to this point.
I'm
glad you asked about this. To the point of, as she indicates in her email, even condemning people who listen to music. Now, I've had this said to me, and in all fairness, exposure here to what I once believed myself. I once believed that instrumental music in worship was wrong, and I believed that for a number of years. About 35 years ago, I began to see things differently, and have been trying. In my small way to educate people to the fact that this is a cultural thing that was developed over many years among churches of Christ. It did not start this way. When I say it did not start this way, the Church of Christ. Here we go now. We're going to get in the weeds.
Do I need to pull my pants up or
anything?
You might need to. Or roll my sleeves up or something.
A little history, though, is helpful to understand where we are and how we got to where we are.
Okay.
Churches of Christ prior to 1801 didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Baptist churches didn't exist prior to 1609 or Methodist churches prior to 1788. And I'm approximating dates there.
Yeah, yeah.
All of modern day Christendom, denominationalism, if you please, their names, their organizations came about as a result of a reformer believing that the church, universal, needed reformation. Martin Luther began the Reformation movement back in the 16th century, and we broke away from the Roman Catholic Church and wrote 95 or 96 reasons why he believed the Catholic Church was wrong and tacked them to the church house door at Wittenberg, and for that he was excommunicated, and many attempts on his life. And so when you get into disagreeing on these kinds of things, people get upset, and certainly, hopefully not to that degree these days, but it has happened in times past that people were that upset. Many people began to follow Martin Luther, and as a result called themselves Lutherans. He pleaded with them, don't call yourselves Lutherans, call yourselves Christians, but people wanting to follow somebody, and wanting to belong to something, didn't heed his request.
Probably wanted to, some way or form, identify themselves.
Of course, we all want to identify.
Yeah.
And so,
a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or something.
Sure, you
like that.
Can't just be a Christian.
Yeah. Why can't we do that?
Timotheus, one of the most difficult things I've ever tried to do in my life, and I'll soon be 68 years old, but I can't think of anything that's more difficult that I've ever tried to do than simply to be a Christian.
Amen.
Why do I have to have something tacked on to it?
Yeah, what, a label.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the question.
And so,
some history.
We're in the history realm, in the history book here today. John Wesley came along. He and his brother Charles. Charles was a great hymn writer. John, to a lesser extent, he was more of a preacher. Was a great preacher, I believe.
Yeah.
And came to America and preached down in Georgia and all around Someone's estimated he preached about on horseback now about 100,000 miles altogether, 40,000 sermons.
I wonder how many horses he went through.
Yeah, how many horses he went through. But he was a methodic kind of a fella.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a method about us, or we should have some kind of method.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his method, the Methodist Church sprang up.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and on with that. But let me get to Churches of Christ. Churches of Christ, Thomas and Alexander Campbell were Presbyterians. And Presbyterians, an offshoot from the Episcopals, Episcopalians, started by a king, the king who wanted to divorce his wife, and the Catholic Church wouldn't let him. And so he said, I'll start my own church, and that's where the Episcopalians came. The truth is the truth. Alexander and Thomas Campbell were Presbyterians. They got kicked out of the Presbyterians because they didn't like some of the things they taught. And I'm really abbreviating here, Timotheus, for time's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to America, and they held a meeting, a revival meeting. And yes, they called it revival back in those days. And I'll get to that in a moment. You'll see why I mentioned that. And for about 3 years, a little over 3 years, down at Cane Ridge, Paris, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
they held a revival meeting, and all stripes of Christians were there. I mean, everybody you can think of in all denominations that existed at that time. They were there, and they said, why don't we just call ourselves Christians? Why can't we just be Christians and drop all of these denominational ties? Well, three groups came out of that: Churches of Christ, Christian Churches, and Disciples of Christ. And the Churches of Christ believed, with respect to this question, they believed that we shouldn't use the instrument in worship.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian Church, Barton W. Stone was the preacher in Lexington, Broadway Christian Church, memory serves me, was the name of it. He believed that it was all right to do so, and they had an organ. Disciples of Christ, of course, they kind of veered off and got into more liberalism, and they're really not even an issue as far as I'm concerned in terms of what we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And so while they differed on the mode of their singing, they stayed in fellowship one with another, and that's refreshing.
Yeah, it should be.
You see, there was five of us in the Scott family, and we all differed on a number of things. But we were all family.
When it come Thanksgiving time, you gathered around the table.
Amen. Looking forward to Mommy's excellent Thanksgiving dinner. But and that lasted for a long, long time. When Thomas and Alexander Campbell started, and they did say, they said, we ought to call ourselves Churches of Christ. The Christian Church thought it should be Christian because the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I hope we haven't lost any listeners, because this really gets in depth, but I'm coming to a point here, folks, if you'll just stay with me. So everybody worshiped together. No problems. They didn't agree on everything, but they didn't disfellowship. Then you move into the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, into the 1860s.
Uh-oh.
And the Civil War broke out.
Yeah.
Brother fighting against brother, physical brothers fighting against brothers. What a terrible time that was for our country. But it was a terrible time for the church, Churches of Christ, Christian churches, because the division really began then. Because you could go back and check this in the history books. The churches above the Mason-Dixon line
mm-hmm.
all used the instrument for the most part. But the ones below the Mason-Dixon line didn't.
Mm.
And it became a matter not only of just style of worship, but whether or not you were going to heaven or hell. But it was propagated by the division that started in the Civil War.
Mm.
And we're still dealing with it today. That is a very brief statement of how we got to where we are, but it didn't stop there. In the 1930s, there was several different editors of Christian publications in the Churches of Christ that came out and made other things a test of fellowship. It wasn't just whether or not we agreed with your use of an instrument. Now it's become a sin. And other things have become sinful. If you don't agree with me on missionary societies, you can't support a mission. a missionary. If you support the missionary society, that's wrong. And you're going to hell. It wasn't just that you're wrong, you're going to hell for it. This is where when Kimberly wrote the email about, can't listen to music at all, this is where it began. And all kinds of other things. Let me make this statement, Timotheus. The churches of Christ, for the most part, non-instrumental churches of Christ, exist in a culture of fear. Scared to death, you're going to make a mistake.
Now, this is bold statement.
It is a bold statement. It is.
Yeah.
Here on National Prayer Day.
Yeah.
And on National Prayer Day, I pray for all Christians, and especially those in churches of Christ, that we can learn to fellowship one with another. But it hasn't been that way in a long, long time. Unless you agree, not just on this, but any number of other issues, then your salvation is in question. You can't fellowship with other believers. Why, we could not a bit more do what we're doing today, and it's about to be a good plug for what we're doing today, the National Day of Prayer, Timotheus, is May 4th.
Today.
And so we opened our church building from 9 this morning. It'll be open till 9 tonight, and folks can go by and just pray if they like.
Anybody,
Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, heathen, anybody that wants to go. You have no church affiliation, but you want to go pray, then you come and pray with us. We've asked pastors if they'd like to come between 12 and 1, that we'll pray together. Might even find a cup of coffee around the kitchen somewhere.
Oh, there's no doubt.
churches and non-instrumental churches of Christ, not all, we're not talking about all, we're talking about a large percentage, they would condemn that. They would say you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Certainly can't worship with them, you can't go. And if you did, then you were called on the carpet, so to speak, for doing so. So, the email wants to know about whether we can use instrumental music. Obviously, I believe we can. Obviously, I believe that the Greek word sallo, P-S-A-L-L-O, which is a major thing that non-instrumental churches talk about, one of the major things. There are volumes, Timotheus, that have been written about this. One debate right after the other. Means the Greek word means to pluck a string of an mm-hmm. instrument, or the carpenter's chalk line, to pluck it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it was in its original sense. And they say that now the instrument that is to be used in worship is the heart, that we spiritually pluck the strings of the heart. And certainly, I don't know anyone who would disagree. You can have the best music in the world, instrumental or a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
For you folks listening who may not be familiar with the word a cappella means without instrument accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the best singing in the world, but if it doesn't pluck the heartstrings, if it doesn't touch the heart,
mm-hmm.
then your worship is in vain anyway. You just go into an entertainment performance of some kind. The heart has to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done with or without an instrument of music. We choose to do both.
Yeah.
We choose to sing a cappella, but we also have instrument accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that that is biblical. We think it is right. I think it's always been a little bit hypocritical to condemn us for playing an instrument in worship or listening to music with instruments. And then you go get in your automobile and put in your favorite Christian musician's music. CD, and it's filled with all kinds of instruments of music. And of course the idea there is that, well, you're not in the worship service. You know, that's always the thing we fall back on. Well, I believe all of life is a worship service.
I'd like to think I'm not restricted to a certain time of worshiping the Lord.
Well, you are if you're in the traditional churches of Christ. It's a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
At the holy hour.
Yeah.
And you can do things outside of that hour that you can't do in that hour. And I just don't accept that. I don't buy that. I'm not condemning you, brother or sister, if that's what you believe. The Bible says in Romans, there's a passage in Romans, Timotheus, might be good here to go to that. In the passage in Romans, the writer talks about the importance of not judging your brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your brother feels one way about this, he was talking about meat back then because some condemned people who ate meat because the meat had been, some of it had been offered to us to an idol god, blah, 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 blah. We're not going into all of that. But that meat and vegetables was the thing back then. Today it's whether you can play an instrument in worship or whether you can go down with and worship with the local Baptist church on a Sunday that that you'd like. Don't be judging. Don't be judging your brother. Who are you? The Bible says you're not the judge.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 14. Anyway.
And it goes with some people that may like bluegrass gospel.
Sure.
That say that the contemporary music, there's no place for contemporary music, you know.
But that's I've heard that.
But that's the heart of younger people or people that like that style of music. Believe this or not. Now, you're sitting down. Are you ready for a shocker?
Come on, let's hear it, brother.
There's some people that don't like bluegrass gospel.
I've heard that, and these people, although nominal, need to be prayed for. No, and this is a national day of prayer.
We mean that as a joke.
We're just kidding on that.
Part.
Do we have to say that? Sometimes people know that we're joking.
Sometimes you do have to say that, but it kind of goes to that as well. So my big thing with this is what I see. If you have a person that is maybe under conviction or thinking about the Lord or turning their hearts, or you have just a sinner and somebody's talked to them and they turn around and look and say, well, let me tell you something. If it's so great, how come they can't even get along with themselves?
It happens all the time.
What are we doing for the name of the Lord if we're fighting amongst ourselves about these things? What kind of image are we portraying to be?
Yeah. You're right.
So anyway.
That word sallow that I mentioned a little while ago, that's a word that a lot of non-instrumental churches of Christ like to use. When they go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's where that phrase, making melody, is the Greek word sallow. And it has to do with striking or twanging or striking the chords of the musical instrument. That's what it originally meant, or the carpenter's chalk line. But the contention is by non-instrumental churches of Christ that all of that has passed away now. Everything back in the old Bible is passed away, and we worship under the new and living way. And while that is true with respect to sacrificial offerings, we don't have to keep offering a lamb every year for our atonement. Christ paid the price. Yeah, all of those things are gone. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn from the Old Testament, nor does it suggest that because we use an instrument in our worship that we are going to hell because we've added to the Word of God. James asked the question, is any among you merry? Let him sing. Well, what did they use in James's time? When James wrote that, James was a Jew, by the way. And when he talked about singing, let them sing praises, the Jewish culture always included in the temple area instruments of music. And someone's going to come back with, well, the heathen did too. Well, of course they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can take a guitar and play heathen music.
Sure, you can. Sure, you can.
You can use your car to go to a heathen place.
You can. So here we are now back to the email, and let me just try to break one or two of these questions down. I was told by another Church of Christ in the area, most churches of Christ, traditional churches of Christ, hold to these same convictions. Not all, of course, but most, that if you play an instrument of music, you're going to hell. They really do. But most of the people who teach that are not, there are exceptions, are not the people who sit in the pews. Churches of Christ members are scared to death to be seen with someone else who's not a part of their fellowship. I think that is terrible. I think Christ came to set us free from all kinds of those restrictions, and we ought to feel free to pray with one another, to worship with one another. I don't have to agree with everything you do, mercy sakes. But I have the freedom to express my beliefs in God as I believe my conscience dictates, and shouldn't live in fear. Someone's going to disfellowship me or call me into account because of it. That isn't biblical. The question is asked, is that biblical? That certainly, that living in fear isn't biblical. And then they go on to say that it means if you can't use an instrument in worship, it means you can't listen to music at all. Now, how foolish is that? Even when I was of the persuasion that instrumental music should not be used in the worship, I was a George Jones fan. I loved a lot of his music.
You like the possum?
Come on now. Choices. I've had choices. We could sing a little bit of it if you want to.
Yeah.
But I was always fearful that I was going to be caught in something, or I was always fearful that I wasn't doing it just good enough. And there's always those
that
we used to call them. Well, there was, and there was always enough popes in the church that would make sure that you stayed in line. And that's Phariseeism. I call it just for what it is. It's Phariseistic. And the reason I know it so well is because I used to be one. I don't say that with any pride. I say that with shame. I'm ashamed of myself. But about 35 years ago, we began to look at things and make some changes. And while I can't go back and undo some of those sermons that I used to preach, and by the way, if you have one of those folks, please destroy it for me. But I barely thought I was doing the will of God. But I was wrong. I was wrong. And I would just examine, ask each of you to examine your own heart. If you're just going for entertainment, then you're going with the wrong motive.
Yeah.
But if you're going to worship and you're worshiping God, whether they're using an instrument of music or not, if your heart is touched by the Holy Spirit of God through the music, through the sermon, however it may be, we're to worship God, body, soul, spirit, and the heart has to be touched. Now, this person concludes by saying, I have no problem with music.
Yeah.
So maybe she believes like we believe. I don't know. I always feel inadequate with certainly only 30 minutes of time to talk about these things. And maybe we can address it some other time. But again, that message, I'd love for anyone who wants a copy of it to call the church office, 789-6433. Ask Jessica to make a copy and send that to the message the preacher talked about on the air. To mail that to him, how we have learned to be divided over the years, and it's wrong, and we need to repent of it and do better.
And the date of that message again was?
That was in, if memory
2006.
Serves, it was in 2006, and I believe it was in March of 2006. I'm thinking that was in March of 2006.
Okay.
But we'll, if you're interested in a copy, call Jessica. Now, we want to thank folks for emailing, and thanks folks for listening and being patient with us today. We don't want to forget National Prayer Day, Timotheus, and what we're doing at Highland. And we don't want to forget Little Light Academy graduation coming up on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like to come be a part of that, you come on. Our first graduating class.
In the brand new Life Center.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be a great time.
Amen.
And hopefully everything will go smooth. We got a lot of things to learn.
Yeah, we do. We do. But people are forgiving.
People are forgiving.
Amen.
With grace.
Amen.
We'd like to thank you today for joining us for God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services. Sunday morning Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. We have life groups normally Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., but this week, again, Little Light Academy will be having graduation, so we'll be doing that Sunday evening. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and don't forget about Looking to Jesus, 7 a.m. Sunday morning right here at WSIP. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.